Chapter 5. We travelled together one day more. I set a punishing pace, one that tested my return to strength to the limit. I wanted to tire Leo as much as possible so that he would sleep deeply. Before my illness, I had been toughened by months of mountain walking. It was clear that Leo was unused to moving much at all. He was meant to be a musician or a scholar. Why had the Brotherhood chosen him to follow me? There must be a reason. I needed to know what it was.
"There's a village ahead," Leo said, panting. "Could we stop for ale?"
"I have no money," I lied.
"I have money."
"Then you may stop. I will go on." He scowled, his dark eyes flashing with a strong feeling that always seemed to lie just below the surface. I quickened my stride. He kept up with difficulty, and so we passed through the tiny settlement, which did not seem to be having any trouble with tranced children. The village was followed by fields which gave way to sheep pastures thick with clover, and then to rolling hills dotted with great tracts of wood. Here the road, obviously less used, dwindled to a track. The long afternoon was warm and fragrant, and it was the queendom at its loveliest. Wild cherries and plums blossomed pink and white. The nightingales had returned from their winter home. Finally, just as the sun set in tender pinks and golds, I left the road to camp by a noisy stream bordered by bulrushes. Weeping willows grew along the bank, dipping their branches into the water and filtering the light to a green glow. I dropped my pack under a huge willow tree. Leo, groaning, sank to the ground.
"Hunter, go find," I said.
He bounded off.
"Leo, gather some twigs for a fire."
"I can't."